Tonight we want to look at Luke chapter 8 and begin our reading at verse 16 and read through verse 21. Luke chapter 8, verse 16 through verse 21. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. This evening, I want to emphasize the right hearing of the word. Right hearing of the word. I want to try to enumerate several things that we as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ can do that would help improve how we handle the word of God as we hear it preached. This parable of the light or the candle that the Lord gives, I think, is very interesting to me. When you just picture what he is saying, you know, if we put that in today's in our current technology, you wouldn't turn the lights on in this house and then put coverings over those lights so that you couldn't see the light. You turn the lights on so that you can see, so things are manifest. The Lord here, I think, is bringing out how that by this parable, how ridiculous it would be to take a candle, light it, and then put it under something to conceal the light from the candle. You light the candle so that you can see, things around can be manifest. And then he goes on to say here, after giving this parable, in verse 17, he says, For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. And I think that perhaps the one at least teaching we can gather from this is that disciples are made manifest by how they deal with the Word of God. Okay, as you look at the parable of the sower and then you lead right into the parable of this candle, I think they're both very related. I mean, they just run right into the other. They are going to manifest disciples of God and those who pretend to be. Okay? So, the way you deal with the Word of God is going to manifest what you are. All right? Whether you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ or whether you are not a disciple. Okay. And then he goes on to say, since this is true, take heed how you hear the word, for whosoever hath shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. And then he gives us this passage concerning those who are his mother and his brethren. You know, he counts more dear, and he counts those who are really family as those who are not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Okay? So we want to be more than hearers. We want to be more than the stony ground hearers who just rejoice in hearing the word of God, but then really didn't bring any fruit. We want to be, the good ground hearers that receive the word in an honest and good heart and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. All right. Now, so having said that, let's look at several things here tonight, and I may not have time to get all of these things this evening, so we may save some of this for the next time. Let's look at what some things that we can do that would help our hearing of the Word of God. We want to be good hearers. We want to be right hearers of the Word of God. So let's look at some of those things tonight that we can do. First thing, before the word is preached, there are some things that we ought to be doing. Okay, before the word is ever preached, there's some things that we ought to be doing. And I think as you're sitting there tonight and you're thinking about that, I think perhaps the first thing that pops into your mind is we ought to be praying. Isn't that right? We ought to be praying that the word would be preached and that it would have free course and be glorified in all of us. It ought to be. In fact, let me just enumerate some of the things we ought to be praying for in regards to this. And let me say this first: the prayer for the service. There should be more prayer uttered than just the one that preceded the service. The one that, you know, the brother prays just before preaching. And if that's the only prayer that is uttered for the service, then we're in trouble. Wouldn't you agree with that? If the only one that's ever uttered is the one that the brother utters just before the preaching portion of the service, we're in trouble. Praying for the service ought to precede the service, you know, hours and even days before the service actually is conducted. All right, so we ought to be praying fervently for it, and we ought to be praying often that God would bless the preaching of the word. And some of the things we ought to be praying for concerning the preaching of the word is that God would direct the minister to preach unto us the things that are suitable to us at that time. I remember hearing Brother Ronald Lawrence making this statement years ago at McClinney Church in Florida. He said, you know, not only do we want to pray that God would bless the minister to preach, you know, he made the statement that, you know, there's a lot in this book that we can preach. A lot of stuff in this book. However, we want to pray that God would bless us to preach the right thing at the right time. Amen? I mean, if what I really need is some good instruction concerning maybe parenting, for instance, or being a good husband, or being a good wife, living God honoring single life, or how I can conduct myself at the job, or I'm dealing with some very severe trials in my life right now, and I'm really low and feel despondent. There's certain things that we need at that given time that will help us in those circumstances. So we want to pray, God bless the minister to preach the things that I need that the congregation needs at this time. So we need to pray that God would bless the preacher to speak of those things that would be suitable for our circumstances at that given time. We should also pray that the minister would be assisted in his studies of the Word of God. I don't know how many times I sit there in the office downstairs trying to study, and I just don't seem like I can get anywhere. And I'm not saying that to lay blame on you. I just want you to know that studying is not easy. It's hard. It's very difficult. You know, in fact, Solomon said there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, you know, that much study is a weariness unto the flesh. It's very tiring. It's very fatiguing. And there are times when I'm sitting there for hours and I'm trying to put thoughts together, and I just can't seem to get them organized, all that sort of thing. And I need the help of the Lord. I need the help of the Holy Spirit to direct me and guide me in my study of the Word of God. I want to be able, in my preaching, I want to be able to preach unto you very clearly. I want to be able to articulate the thoughts in such a way that is easy for you to understand what I'm saying unto you. And I need the help of God to be able to do that. You know, he said there that Solomon did, that the preacher sought out acceptable words. And as I'm seeking out those acceptable words, as any minister of the gospel is seeking out those acceptable words, we need to be praying that God would help the minister to find those acceptable words. Amen? I want to find those acceptable words. Words that would be fitly spoken. Words that would be as apples of gold and pictures of silver. Words that would minister grace unto the hearers of the word. So we should be praying, God bless the minister in his studies, that he might find those acceptable words, words of grace for the hearers. And we need to pray that God would bless the preacher to be bold. Paul exhorted the Ephesian saints there in chapter 6 that he said, pray and pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly as I ought to speak. So many times, so often, do we allow the fear of man to intimidate us from speaking the truth. And we ought not let the fear of man dictate to us what we preach, but we should have the Spirit dictating to us what we preach. Lord, open or bless the man of God, bless the minister of God, to preach the things that I need to hear. So many times, and I've shared with you my reluctance on occasions. For one example, my reluctance to preach concerning giving. You know, I've been so afraid in times past, and I just thank the Lord that you guys are not like this. At least most of you aren't, you know. At least if any of you are, you haven't told me or haven't let on about it. But I'm so glad you're not, you know, those that would charge me of preaching for money. The only reason he's preaching that sermon is because he just ain't got enough money in the bank account. He wants more money out of our pockets, you know, that sort of thing. You know, a lot of ministers wouldn't preach on giving because they're afraid that's what the congregation would charge them of. You know, they know it ought to be preached, but they're afraid of the congregation, and so they won't preach it. We need to pray, Lord, bless the minister to preach the things he ought to speak, that he would open his mouth boldly, that he would not give in to the fear of man. We ought to pray that the word of the Lord would have free course. Paul mentions that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1 when he says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified in you, in them, even as it is with you. That it might be glorified. That every obstacle that would lay between the hearing of the word of God and our doing the word of God, that every obstacle would be overcome. That every obstacle would be laid low. That every mountain might be made low and every low place might be exalted." You know, that the word would have an even path right into our very hearts, and we would be doers of the word. We need to pray that God would bless it to have free course. We need to pray that God would bless the word, or bless us in the hearing of the word, that we might have our eyes opened, that we might behold the glorious things that are being shared with us from the scriptures. The psalmist prayed there in Psalm 119. I forget now the verse number, but he said, "Open thou mine eyes that I might behold glorious things from thy law," or out of thy law, "that I might behold," that I might actually see. You know, sometimes we can be like Hagar when she was sitting there by the tree and she was in despair. There was, you know, she was out of water, no water in the water bottle, out of food, all this sort of thing. She's already laid. What's his face over there? Off in the distance. I forgot his name now. Ishmael. Thank you. Laid Ishmael over yonder at a distance, you know, some way. And she's turned her back on him, you know, and she's sitting down there next to the tree there, and she's despairing. She's like, "Hey, we're going to die." And the Lord opened her eyes that she was able to behold the water right next to her. Oh, there's water, you know. And there, boom, there she was, you know. She was able to give water for her son and for herself, and they were able to keep on living. We need to pray, God, open my eyes that when I'm reading the Word of God, I can see what's there. You ever read the scriptures and you just don't get a thing out of it? You know, we want to pray that God would bless us not only to see what we're reading, but God bless our eyes that we might be able to see what the preacher is preaching to us. You see, open my eyes, open my understanding that I might behold the lesson, that I might see the lesson, that I might see the truths that are being communicated from your minister. And pray that God would bless our minds to be attentive. Be focused. So often we let our minds, you know, wander off and worry about the pot of beans that spilled on the back of the van, you know, on their way here. So often we think about what all we got to do tomorrow, when we get up in the morning. So often we think about, all that's on the schedule. We think about all the things that happened this past week. How are we going to overcome these things that have just come in our lives? And we don't pay attention to the things that are being spoken, things that are important. And we'll get to that later on, Lord willing. But we need to pray, God, bless me to keep my mind on the preaching of the gospel, on the preaching of your word. Help me to stay attentive. Help me to stay awake. Help me to stay with the minister as he's preaching the word of God. Lord, help me to not miss a single thing. Amen. You know, as I've heard recently, a preacher made the statement that that the attention span of people in general in our society is about 10 minutes. You know, used to is, you know, it was like about 30 minutes, I believe it is. But, you know, as time goes on, you know, it gets less and less and less. And we have a lot of things to overcome. Amen? I mean, we have a lot of things to overcome in this society. And we need to overcome, you know, that problem of not of having a short attention span. We need to pray that God would bless every single detail of the service so that all of us, both moms and dads and everyone, might be able to stay focused upon the preaching of the Word. God can help that, don't you think? God can help, you know, with children who are being a little unruly, like Jeremiah, who's sitting there not paying attention. The Lord can bless the little child there to be calm, be quiet there, and allow mom to be more attentive when the Word is being preached. God can help that, and we need to be praying for that. And not just praying, you know, when the brother is called upon to pray. We need to be praying all through the week. The Word is important, and we'll get that again, Lord willing. All right. So we need to pray that God would keep help us to keep our minds focused on what's being preached. We need to pray that God would help us to receive the Word, as one writer put it, in the love of it. In the love of it. Now, sometimes the minister, he gets to preaching on things there, and he can be right. He can be right. But we get in the flesh, and we don't like it one bit. It lays open, you know, a problem in our behavior. A problem in our life. It reproves us. It corrects us. It rebukes our bad behavior. And at times, we're kind of like the old saying, we want to shoot the messenger. You know, we want to shoot the minister because he's been reading our mail. You ever felt like that sometimes? You ever get mad at the preacher because, you know, he must have been spying on me because he's just preaching on something that applies to my case here in this given time. We need to pray, God bless me to receive the Word regardless of whether it convicts or it's a blessing to me. God, help me to receive it in the love of it. Help me to receive it not in disdain or in contempt. Okay. The second thing that we ought to try to do before we hear the preaching of the Word is we ought to consider things concerning the service. First thing we should consider is that the purpose of the service is to edify the saints of God. One of the purposes of the service is to edify the saints of God. The Apostle Paul, he writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he speaks about the various preaching gifts, the apostles, prophets, and evangelists, and pastors, teachers. These are all gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to the church. And he notice what he says in verse 12, why they're given. They are given for the perfecting of the saints, or the equipping. Is one way that word has been defined, for the equipping or perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. All right, that's the purpose of preaching, is that the saints might be perfected for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. See, it's for growing. That we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, the preaching gift is given. The ministry of the Word is given for the edification of the saints. Okay, sounds pretty important. And we, before we come in, you know, our thought process should be that the reason I'm coming, one of the reasons I'm coming into this place is to be built up, to be encouraged, to be edified, to be equipped for the work of the ministry, that I might take my part in the body of Christ, and I might, in me as a member of that body, might minister to the rest of the body, and that the body might minister unto me appropriately. That's the reason, one of the reasons we're given for the service that we attend here each time we meet. Another purpose of the service is to glorify God. Paul said there in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, unto Him, that is unto God, be glory in the church through or by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto Him be glory in the church, by Jesus Christ. Alright, so it is to we need to consider that that this service, each time we meet, whether it be just, you know, two or three, or it be, you know, 60, we need to consider that we're here to glorify God. We're here to glorify Him. Alright? The second thing we need to consider is how important the Word of God is to us. How important it is to us. We need and how our right use of it redounds or results to the glory of God. When we think about how important it is to us, the psalmist writes in Psalm 19, verse 7, he says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." That's what he says about the Word. All right, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You see how important it is to me? It is instrumental in converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. All of these various aspects of the Word, these are how they are beneficial unto me. And when you think about how it redounds to the glory of God, think of this in First Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. We read of King Saul and how he disobeyed God in going out to destroy Amalek. And whenever Saul comes back, he's changed the word. He has changed the command. He's only done part of it. He hasn't done it wholly. He's changed it and said, you know, I think this would be a little bit better. You know, anytime you think you can improve upon the commandments of God, you're in trouble. All right? Saul was in trouble, and we're in trouble if we think we know better than God. Anyway, Samuel says unto Saul concerning that, he says, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Here's the point. Samuel says to Saul that God has greater delight in obedience than He does in sacrifice. You know, in these sacrifices. He has greater delight in obedience. And that was the real kicker through the history of Israel. They went through the sacrifices. You know, they did all these ceremonial sacrifices day in and day out, year by year, year by year. But they rebelled against the commandments. You know, it's concerning how they are to treat one another. Okay? They oppressed the poor. They robbed the widow and the fatherless. They oppressed them. Anyway, and the Lord, you know what happens to Israel after some time. Anyway, the Lord has great delight. It pleases God when we take the Word and we obey it. We do it. It pleases Him. It redounds. See, our right use of the Word redounds to His glory. Okay, the next thing. Another thing that we ought to be considering before we actually hear the preaching of the Word is that we should consider whose Word it is that we come to hear. Whose Word is it? Is it mine? You know, is it Elder so-and-so? Is it Preacher so-and-so? Pastor so-and-so's Word? Or is it God's Word? You see, if the minister is worth his salt, if the minister is truly called of God, if the purpose of the minister, the motive of the minister is to bring honor and glory to God, and he's praying and you're praying, then when he's up here preaching, speaking, then 9 times out of 10, you know, he's going to be preaching the Word of God. It's God's Word, not his. You see? And now, I want us to understand that not everything that comes out of that man's lips is going to be the Word of God. Okay? Understand me rightly. But if that man is applying himself, and you're praying, he's praying, he's studying the Word of God, then what he's going to be bringing to you is the Word of God, and it is indeed the Word of God, and not his own. You see? Not his own. So it's God's Word. It's the law of the Lord, as the psalmist said in Psalm 19, we just read just a moment ago. Again, Paul writes concerning this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So, if it's coming from this book, it's God's Word. And so, if I'm hearing this preached, I'm hearing the Word of God preached. And he's the one, you know, we described him this morning, we described him last week concerning, you know, his judgment against wickedness and all that sort of thing. I want to hear what he's got to say. Amen? Anyway, we need to consider that this is the Word of God. And so that means we need to prepare our minds, you know, do the very best we can to prepare ourselves to hear the Word of God. All right? And then we're coming into the very presence of God. We made a few thoughts or shared a few thoughts concerning that this morning. We've come together here in this assembly. And in this assembly, we are in the midst, or God is in our midst. We're in the very presence of the Holy God. God is here in our midst tonight. And sometimes we don't feel His presence. Sometimes we're not able to see Him by faith. Nevertheless, God's here. We've come into His presence. And so we need to consider that before we enter in. This is a very special place. All right? Solomon writes, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God." This is God's house. All right? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. Paul is quoting from the Psalms, and this is, I think, these are the words, the very words of Christ, when he says, saying, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren." Again, this is Christ speaking. "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." This is Christ in the church singing praise unto God. So again, we're in the presence of Christ. We're in the presence of God when we meet together. Okay? All right. Let's look at one more, and then we'll leave the rest for next week. Another thing we ought to consider before we come into the service, we ought to consider what good may arise from our hearing the Word of God, which in turn we should suggest to ourselves as an encouragement to come. I remember Brother Joe numerous times. He has, in times past, has been in somewhat of a, I call it a funk. I get in them. You know, I'm sure some of you have gotten in them too. You know, and you just don't feel like going to church. But then he would tell himself, this is exactly where you need to be. And when he's come, you know, then he has been blessed. He's been glad that he came. And perhaps you've been in the same boat. You didn't feel like coming, but you knew that this is where you needed to be, and you came, and the Lord blessed you for it. We need to realize before we come out to the service, what good may arise from our hearing the Word of God. It could just be that the Lord may give me just the very thing through His minister that will help me in this time of my funk. Okay? I need to consider that. And I need to further, I need to consider what need I have of instruction, that I need instruction. And I also need to really consider what I need to be instructed in. If we think that we're wiser than the teacher, and I'm going to go past me, all right? I'm going to go past me. I'm supposed to be a teacher, but I know you guys are smarter than I am. I'm going to go up to the Lord, None of us are smarter than the Lord. If we ever think we're smarter than the Lord, then, you know, we're wise in our own conceits, as the writer put it. We're not going to be instructed. But if we come with the realization that the teacher, the Holy Spirit, here is blessing the minister of God, it's going to profit me. He's going to teach me. And I want to be ready to receive it. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 25, verse 9. He says, "The meek," get that, "the meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way." It's not those who are high in their own mind, not those who are wise in their own conceits. It's not those who think they're smarter than, you know, everybody else. It's those who are humble and those who are submissive, already have a submissive heart, you know, and who are ready to receive the Word of God, that God in turn will teach and guide in His way. He says further on in the same Psalm in verse 12, "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way that he shall choose." God will teach that man. Okay? God's the teacher. You see that? He's the teacher. All right. So, I said I was going to stop there, and I am. I'm not going to be a typical preacher and lie to you. All right. So God help us to, before we enter into the service, to pray. Pray the whole week leading up to the service. Pray that God would bless the preaching of the Word. That we would be in the right frame of mind. That we would be attentive. That God would bless the messenger with the right message. And that we would be able to receive it. Consider whose word it is. Consider whose house we've come into. Whose presence we've entered into. Consider the advantage of the Word, how it's going to benefit me, how important it is to me, how it's going to glorify God. Consider that I need instruction. And consider what you have need of. And the Lord, I think, with those and some other things that we'll, Lord willing, share next week, with those things, are trying to do that faithfully. I think God will bless the Word of God to be fruitful in our lives. May the Lord add His blessing.